been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide, to another edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us for the 100th time on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio.
Drum roll, please.
The Baltimore 100. Sports Report Network. That's right.
You know what's kind of odd this week? Not odd, but fitting, and I have to share this. Remember San Francisco game, and I said I was going to miss that game for the first time and not watch it on TV because I was celebrating my grandmother's 100th birthday?
Yeah.
Here we are recording this week, October 27th, 100th episode. She turns 100 on Friday.
Oh, wow. Well, happy birthday to her, man. That is quite an accomplishment. Great. Makes us sound like a bunch of losers.
With her, it does. I'm like, 29. Yeah, imagine that.
So,
and maybe things come in threes because you got that going on. Maybe we'll actually celebrate a second win this week.
Huh? Hey, you know what? I would be happy with that. But before we get into this game, let's just talk a little bit about the history of the call. This is 100 episodes I don't mean to toot our own horn, but this is a pretty big accomplishment in the podcast world, because a lot of people that podcast, they do it for a couple months, they realize how much work goes into doing a podcast for free, you're not getting paid for it, and they quit after, you know, three or four episodes. But for us...
Oh, they're rookies, they can't last.
I know. But we've been doing this for 4 years, we've covered Super Bowl runs, we've covered both Terrell Suggs' injuries to his Achilles heel, his Achilles tendon.
We've covered a Ray retirement, a Reed retirement.
We've been a little bit of everything, man. But I want to go back and I want to tell a little story that maybe some of the new people that have just found us didn't hear this before. But I want to talk about the time that you and I first met. So I posted a picture from a couple years ago from my Time Hop app on Twitter to you a couple weeks ago. And I was like, look, dude, this is our friend anniversary, because this is the first time we met. So I guess it was about 4 years ago, a local radio station in Baltimore, they stopped doing it now, but they usually did a Ravens radio show out at a place called High Tops in Timonium. And I had never been before, and I'm kind of getting off of like a rough patch of my own life. You know, if you guys listen to the off-season shows, I kind of talked about how my grandmother loved watching the Ravens, how the Ravens they donate to her for the benefit that's in her memory. She had just gotten home. She was very sick. She had passed away. So I was in a very strange place in my own life personally. So I was ready to, she had been in the hospital for a year and a half. So I really didn't go out very much in that year and a half, because I went to go see her and saw her every day. So I didn't have a lot of like interaction with my friends at the time, because I was busy taking care of her. So when I finally got that urge, I got that feeling of like, I want to go out again. I want to do something. I want to enjoy life. I want to be a part of something. I want to do something fun. I saw that this radio station was doing a live radio show on a Monday night, and the special guest was the one and only Ray Lewis. And I was like, man, what a cool way. I've never been there before. I know the restaurant. I like their food. I'm going to get all my buddies together. We're going to go to this place. We're going to see Ray Lewis talk. One of my friends was the radio show host of that show. I was like, it'd be good to see him again. It'll be great. So I sent out a text message. This is a very long story. I'm sorry, everyone. I sent out a text message to my friends, and they all go, oh, you know, it's a Monday night. We're kind of busy.
You had complaints to meet Ray Lewis. What kind of friends did you have?
The worst.
They're not your friends anymore.
Honestly, they're not.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm glad. I've never wanted to watch my words to offend anybody, so I don't care. But I'm like, if you're making excuses that it's a Monday night and you're not in Ray Lewis and you're a Ravens fan or somewhat involved in the Ravens now.
Right. So
you need to get that card taken away real quick.
Yeah. So it's, they're like, oh, it's a Monday. Oh, it's all the way up in Timonium.
Oh,
which,
shush.
Which is, I'm like, really? Like, I work in Owings Mills every day. I drive an hour to get home, so it's really not that far out of the way. But anyway, all of them let me down. Every single one of my friends said, I don't really care, whatever, whatever. But I was in that mood where I'm like, you know what? I just want to go out. I just want to be around people again. I want to do something. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go on my own. I'm just going to go by myself, and I'm going to meet Ray Lewis, and I'm going to shake his hand, and I'm just going to hear what he has to say. So I get to High Tops. The place is pretty empty because I left a little bit early from work, and I sit down at this 4-person table. And again, all by myself. No one's around. So like my buddy that does the radio show, he came over. He kind of shook my hand. A couple people around me, they sat at their own tables. They had their own little group. So I'm looking around at everybody, and I'm like, wow, look at these tables of 4 people. I'm all by myself. This is going to be really lame. I'm going to feel really bad about this. And then this dude who I've never met before, didn't know at all in any way, taps me on the shoulder and goes, hey, is this seat taken? You mind if I sit down? And it was you, man. It was Josh. it was my good friend Josh. And I was like, no, absolutely, sit down. And, you know, you and I were talking, and we were kind of in the same boat. Like, you came by yourself. You just wanted to see Ray Lewis. You wanted to meet Ray Lewis. You wanted to hear what he had to say. And you and I are, like, standing in line, and you're like, I can't believe we're about to meet him. I can't believe it. And I was just kind of like, well, you know, calm down there, guy.
I mean, yeah, now if you know me, you know why.
yeah. I know. I understand it now. But when I first met you, and I'm like, calm down, you know, we'll meet him. It's okay. But ever since then, you know, you and I, we switched Twitter handles. We switched phone numbers. You know, Ray Lewis, the Ravens, brought us together. I was in a very bad place personally in my life. And I didn't have friends I could count on. But those same friends are the same reason why I started this podcast. I was doing a radio show with them over the internet. We made some changes in the format of the show. They weren't happy with them. So I said, look, guys, I appreciate everything we've done together, but I'm going to go venture out and do my own thing because I really want to continue to do this. And they just, their heart wasn't in it like mine was. So I started up doing my own radio gig at a local college, and my first thought was, you know what? I really love talking about the Ravens. I really love talking about the Capitals. I'm going to ask my buddies, Josh and Dan, if they'd be interested. So this show originally started as a segment on an old internet radio show that I was doing. I did a little searching, did a little trying to figure out where to put everything. Here's a clip from the very first thing that Josh and I recorded so many years ago as we were just starting out the call, trying to figure out what it was all about. Check it out. Here is a clip from the call, episode 1. Yeah, I think this is actually pre-episode 1 when we were still just a segment on my tiny little radio show. So here you go. Check it out. The call back in the day.
You know, what I look at it as is, hey, you know, if you got to become the champions and you want to do good in the NFL, you're going to pay for it. And the NFL actually makes us pay for it by, you know, dissecting the schedule. We start out at home against Cincinnati. That's going to be good for us, starting out at home, prime time. You know how the fans get revved up.
This is the first Monday night game in a couple of years, too, that's going to be at home in Baltimore, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And you're right, Brandon. If you think about it, Bisciotti's been very clear on, you know, hey, Baltimore's been, you know, gypped on a couple of home Monday nighters. Haven't had it since the infamous 2007 flag throwing, you know, fiasco against the Patriots when he went undefeated that year.
I remember that game.
Oh, yeah, I was there front row. It was very, very agonizing knowing that
Did you catch the flag?
No, I wasn't close enough. Trust me, but I was there. It was a far end of the field. I remember I was sitting 4 rows up from the front. Bart Scott threw that, and I was right there. My dad couldn't believe it, how we just imploded.
Yeah.
Bringing back some memories, and I think this one will be right building up to that same height.
And the first person I thought of to do this show was you. And I was like, hey, man, you ever thought about doing internet radio, talking about the Ravens? Think you'd be pretty good at it. I'm looking to start something of my own. And you were just like, dude, that's what I've always wanted to do. I love talking about the Ravens.
Yep.
And I guess the rest is history. So here we are. 100 episodes later, we're still talking about the Ravens. We're still having a good time. And honestly, bud, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the last 100 hours or so that we've recorded together. It has been an absolute blast for the last 4 years. And I can't wait to hit episode 200. And I hope we continue to do this. This has been such an amazing couple years. And, you know, I always do a little hashtag in pod I trust. And the only reason I in pod I trust is because of you and my buddy Dan, because you guys, you love our sports teams. You know, you love the Ravens like I love the Ravens. I think you love them way more than I do. But this has been such a fun ride. And 100 episodes, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, man. And you're welcome. And also, thank you for all hard work, because I know editing is back when I did it in college, it's such a chore, and I know your heart's in it in the right place, and I know if I was doing it, I can definitely understand it, and all the hours that goes in editing. Not only you spend the time recording, but then you do the Puck Podcast. You're editing both shows, and you're working full time. You're always busy, man. And I know me and Dan could probably wouldn't say thank you enough, and really for the hard work you do, man. It's I never want you to feel underappreciated of that, you know, we get it easy because we talk and record, and it's like, all right, bye. And then I can go back to watching TV or going to my part-time job. And then you're editing and just don't want to take that for granted, man. So I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing what you do best, man.
No, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for those kind words. And 100 episodes, it's been pretty crazy. But Josh, you know who would really like to listen to our 100th episode?
Who's that?
Probably the referees that are blind and couldn't do any of these calls this past game.
And it was so bad. And you even mentioned maybe getting a 200th episode in the podcast. We just need to get to win number two. And with these refs in the way, let's just start there, because it's absolutely this is going to be a good discussion, because these refs – I don't even know where to begin. The NFL is just it's going the wrong way with these refs, and it can't happen.
Apparently, you remember that, you know, in Shrek, I think, it was like three blind mice, and they had referee jerseys on. Were they the guys that were a referee in this game?
Apparently. This is getting – I'm over it. I'm telling you, and I say it time again, if it wasn't my love for these Ravens, and this city, and this franchise, I could give two craps into the wind about the NFL. They suck. The whole league sucks. They don't do anything right. They claim that they're a $1 billion business and they want to go worldwide into London and Mexico. Well, they can't even hire stinking officials to get things right. I just don't understand it. Like, how hard is it to train like adequately? I mean, I know it's human error, but these guys are just – they're dumb. And then we got official replay on video, and it's even worse. It's like we had all our homes sitting there. I don't know where to begin. From the blunder of they got the call wrong about the formation, which I knew was correct. We all knew it was correct. The Ravens were in the right. Apparently, they were penalized for it and go, oh, well, we were wrong. Second off, the Jeremy Ross fumble. His knee was down. We all knew his knee was down. I'm sitting there eating a French fry off the plate of food I had for dinner. And when they said the call stands, I literally almost choked on my French fry. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, okay, and then that led to points. I mean, you know, so, and then who knows? I mean, it's just, and then here's the thing, man. Every time we're on offense and we're on defense, it seems like they're throwing flags in the secondary, but we're on offense, their secondary don't get flags. No, call it consistently. I'm over it. I'm over it. The officials in NFL, the NFL just sucks.
Yeah, you know, I am not somebody who likes to come on a podcast and go, oh, the referees are screwing us, the referees this, the referees that.
Because
if your team is good enough, then you should be able to perform correctly. You should be able to win games whether you get calls in your favor or not. However, this game was so incredibly blatant that these referees are either gun shy about missing a play or missing a flag or something's going on. And it's not just the Ravens. It is league wide. These referees are flag happy. They're flagging everything they can think of. This game, the Ravens could have performed better. This is the best I think they've looked all year. We'll definitely talk about that. But these referees were handicapping, you know, the Ravens so much with this game. Let's go into depth. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the John Urschel penalty. There's video here of him coming onto the field, patting down his jersey, looking at the referee. He's doing it the entire time from the sideline to the huddle, which is the signal, look, I'm going to be an eligible receiver. He did it all over the place. Joe Flacco even points to him going like, yo, ref, check this out. This is what's going on. He's going to be eligible in this play. The referee did not see it at all. The nope. Ravens get penalized, and Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh, everybody flips their lid. You look at the replay, it's all there. That referee screwed up. He missed that play. Nothing's going to happen to him. The NFL has already said that, yes, he missed that play, or yes, he missed that signal. He should have seen it. He admits to not seeing it, but since it didn't affect the score to the game, then nothing's going to happen to him. That was
affect the score to game. I legit think that we were driving on that.
Yeah, it hurt our momentum. If you can say, a play in the last 2 minutes is the only time it's going to affect the score of the game, bull, then let's have 2 minute long football games, if that's all it is. Because that play was missed. That referee should be, I don't know if he should be fined, if he should be suspended. I don't know how you penalize a ref for not seeing that, but it was obvious. His job was to watch that huddle, to look at the guy coming onto the field, and he missed it. He did not get that play done. Or there has to be something, or like a headset or something, where they know what's going on. If it's a signal of patting down your jersey, that obviously didn't work, and he wasn't paying attention.
And speaking of headsets, this was new to me when I woke up. What's this about our headsets stopped working in the fourth quarter? Where did this come from?
Yeah, so apparently in the last 2 minutes, there was no communication between Harbaugh, Trestman, and Flacco. The headsets will...
It seems like all year, but besides the point.
Right. This is actual proof that those guys weren't talking to each other. Apparently that happened. I find it weird also that this happens to... who was it? Was it the Steelers or the Bengals up in New England this earlier this year? And now it happens to the Ravens again somewhere else. So it's weird that the away teams in the NFL keep getting these headset problems. And if Bose is so great and they're paying for this ad space...
no Beats.
Yeah, like players are getting...
I've had mine for 2 years and they ain't had a problem with it. Just saying.
Yeah, well, like Bose, they're the ones that pay for all the headsets and everything to have their name shown. It doesn't look very good for them because apparently they don't work very well because it's affecting the game now. Look, if the NFL is going to over-scrutinize and do all these rules and all these rule changes and this, that, whatever, then they need to be responsible for when things don't work, because this game proves that if there's headset stuff going on, you know what you do? You stop the game. You stop the clock. You figure out what's going on with the headsets, and then you restart the game. Yeah, it's going to affect your time on TV, but it's your fault you went with that brand of headset. Sorry, NFL. That's on you. All right.
Yeah, the NFL is they're just sucking all around, and it's getting less and less and less, where it's like almost like a bye week where the Ravens have in 2 weeks. It's like, I don't even want to watch football all day long. Granted, I have fantasy and all that, but it's like it's just going to see the same old junk. I'm more apt to watch NBA all day long or something, or whatever's on. No, it's just getting ridiculous, man. I really hate to say it.
It really is. And that Urschel play, or that non-call, that was 100% on that referee. 100%. That affected the game, no matter any way you want to slice it, whether it's like, oh, it happened in the first...
Of course it affects the game.
Yeah, the first half. It didn't happen in the second half, whatever. That affected the game. It affected how everything worked out. It was not... It was terrible. Now let's talk about the Brandon Williams situation here. He tackles Johnson. Johnson is on Williams's stomach, and he pops up because he never touched the ground. I didn't hear a whistle being blown. Everyone else, I guess, just I guess to be fair, he never touched the ground, so he play never really stopped. But Harbaugh said his momentum stopped at that point when he was rolling on the ground. So. Where do you stand on that? What did you think about this Brandon Williams play?
That's the first thing I said. I mean, I didn't hear a whistle, and I know they showed the replay. What I think, I mean, and I sat there and was like shrugging my shoulders, like, I have to give applause to Chris Johnson for being aware. He didn't touch the ground. He rolled on top of a player, and he kept running. Luckily, he didn't score for our sakes. But here's the other thing on that. It's what about stopping the players in the backfield? They blow the whistles on that, but that's like stopping momentum because I think Williams had a hold on his waist for a good 2 or 3 seconds. Like, yeah. He wasn't moving, and then all of a sudden he lets go, and then Chris Johnson gets up. So it's like, what happened to the momentum of the runner or whatever? So it's just like, to me, it's like they didn't do different in the backfield. So I'm a little questioning on that one. But at the same time, I have to commend Chris Johnson. Awareness, you have to applaud a football player like that. That you don't teach. Not coach. That's just self-taught. That's me knowing, hey, I didn't touch the ground. I'm going to get up. So that I have to applaud that. It was a great football play.
Yeah, but at the same time, so look at it this way. So, yeah, like you said, good play on his part. You know, he was aware of what's going on. He knows he's not on the ground. He knows there's a technicality there, even though he got tackled. If Brandon Williams were to take him, hold him onto the ground, or roll on top of him, would Brandon Williams have been, which, by the way, great, great first name, would he have been flagged for, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct, or would he have been flagged for, you know, being too rough or something like that? Because potentially, like, that's what these guys are kind of told to do now, is that, you know, you can't be overly aggressive, you can't... You almost can't finish plays to that extent because you'll get a flag and you'll lose yardage that way. Do you think that he should have held on to him? You know, as long as longer than he did.
I mean, he could have. I mean, I'm not really. I'm not going there. I mean, I'm not. Should have, would have, could have. I don't think that was a critical play. I mean, I can't remember what down it was. There's so much that happened yesterday. I have to go back to the game and really know what down that was. And I don't know if that was already a first down. I don't know if he was short. I really have to look. I would say that it matters on where that play was in juncture, what down it was, how many yardage he gained, did he get the first down. But I don't think it was a point of should he have held on to longer? No. He thought the play was over. But the players are taught to play to the whistle, man. So if there's no whistle blowing, but again, being on an NFL stadium indoors, you think you hear it, you don't. I guess he thought the play was over. I'm sure the team will review that and find out what needed to be done. But apart from at home, man, it was that game to where we're down 27-10. I felt great when we were up, but when we were down 27-10, I'm like, here we go again. And then it was quick strike, and here we are. And January Joe showed up and led the team that fan. Like you said in the beginning of the show, man, I think overall – I mean, the secondary, I think, held their own. I mean, they let up big plays, but it's kind of like we've seen this before. So that was expected. But I think apart from the secondary, everybody played great. Forsett was running the ball. Joe Flacco was making throws, drilling them in there. Chris, he had that one pass. Chris Givens basically gave that guy a move and just blew right past him, and Flacco put it on him for a 30-yard pass. That was great. Gilmore looked fascinating out there. I have to give it to him. One guy who didn't, Eugene Monroe.
Yeah.
Who? Oh my God! Like, really? Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Ridiculous.
Towards the end of the game, where it really looked like January Joe, like you call him, he was showing up. It really looked like these Ravens were going to be able to tromp down the field, get what they had to do. I got the notification on my phone that Eugene Monroe and Kelechi Osemele both out of the game.
Right.
They were out of the game, and when I read that, I was like, that's the game, man, because those guys...
Well, look what happened.
Yeah, those guys are supposed to be blocking for Joe, giving him time in the pocket. Without them there, without them blocking, Joe's going to be pressured a lot, and we kind of know what Joe does in those pressure situations. He throws away the ball. He goes for short yardage. He can't really make that big, long play when he doesn't have time. So when
he's the worst QB in the league right now under the blitz.
Yeah, he. You can tell that's not his strong
suit.
You see
what happened on the last play, man. Unblocked guy, and he had no choice.
Yeah, he had to throw it like that. That pass. I mean, I think he was trying to make a play. He knew what was going on with the clock. He tried his best, but that interception. I mean, it's. I don't think that's 100% on Joe. I think that's on injuries with guys not being able to play, with not being able to give Joe some time. He tried to make a play. It didn't work out. But with Monroe and Osemele out and not doing stuff, Joe doesn't have time. Joe can't make those crazy plays like we're used to with him.
Not at all. And like I warned you in pre-show, This is going to start my rant, and this is why I wanted to bring up. I posted on our Facebook page, the Call Facebook page, and also mine. You did not get a chance to read, man, and anybody out there listening, Baltimore Beatdown put out an article. I think it's the best read. I almost want to print out and frame it on my wall and pass it out to all the Flacco haters. It was basically saying how it was bashing all the Raven fan Flacco haters. Best read I've ever read. Best non-Ray Lewis material I've read or heard. I'm telling you that right now.
What makes it so great?
What makes it so great? Because he basically puts out there the honest truth how he basically you can't take it for granted. And I even posted a picture. I went on a rant last night. I didn't sleep till 3 a.m. because I was so fired up. And I was just kind of refreshing my Facebook page and reading, Flacco elite, my bad, no. And Flacco's not elite. And we overpaid for him and blah, blah. I'm like, but I Googled the Ravens quarterbacks prior to Flacco, and I posted, I'm like, take your pick. Let me know who you like, and maybe we'll go after him. It's getting ridiculous. The article basically points out how the Flacco haters are pathetic. They're moronic. They shouldn't even be Ravens. It just basically points out the obvious, which it shouldn't happen. You shouldn't bash your all-pro Super Bowl MVP quarterback. I've never heard of such a thing. I mean, you have a Super Bowl MVP winning quarterback, franchise quarterback who's played every game since 2008, and oh, he sucks. Okay, well, so be it. I'm telling you right now, I've threatened to defriend people, and I never do that. You know me. I don't act childish, and I don't act high schoolish, and I'm not okay. You know, I don't like what you say, so I'm blocking you now because I don't care what you say. Words don't offend me personally, but they do fire me up in a respect. I'm tired, sick and tired of it. All through the playoffs, I watch certain people root hard and, oh, Joe Flacco is awesome. And, oh, he made that throw. But then he throws off his back foot, throws a pick to end the game, and, oh, he sucks. He's not elite. Oh, my God, he's not a leader, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, I don't know about you, Brandon, but it wasn't Joe Flacco's freaking fault that the guy came unblocked because, you're right, Malik Smelly and Dean Monroe weren't on the line at that point in juncture. It wasn't Flacco's fault. I'd rather Flacco take the football and like he did what he did and throw off his back foot, attempting to make a game-winning score, or it would have been a putting us within two or a score, than, oh, just fold under like a house of cards and take a sack to end the game. That's cowardice. I'd rather him go, oh, I see a guy coming. I'm going to throw it up. At least it gives us a chance to make the play. It ain't no different than Chris Davis or Adam Jones up there, who we know are free swingers, bases loaded, game seven of the World Series, and we're tie game or whatever, down one. And they go up there and they let watch strike three go down the line. Why didn't they swing? Well, no, I'd rather them swing go down swinging. So, Brandon, I'm getting sick of it. And the worst this season's getting, the worse I'm getting angrier about this. Like, it just enrages me. Like, I just don't understand it. It's you have an all-pro quarterback who's given nothing but great things and breaking franchise records and a 10-5 playoff record with a Super Bowl ring. And I'm like, and played every single game since his career. He's tough as nails. And it's, oh, he sucks and this and that. I'm done. Like, I'm seriously. The next Flacco hater that across my face that is a Ravens fan, they're not going to like what I got to say to him.
All right, so yeah, let me put my 2 cents into here.
Please do, because I'm at my wit's end. I'm done. I'm so angry. I am, and I'm not angry because they're 1-6. I'm angry because people are just retarded. They're stupid.
All right, so here's my say on Joe Flacco. Does Joe Flacco throw interceptions? Yes, he does. Does Joe Flacco get sacked? Yes, he does. Does Joe Flacco make boneheaded mistakes? Yes, he does. But Joe Flacco is not the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco is a quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Does Joe Flacco make plays? Yes, he does. Does Joe Flacco lead that offense? Yes, he does. Did Joe Flacco go through 4 different offensive coordinators? Did he learn 4 different systems in his years in the NFL? Yes, he has. I want to see any other quarterback that can go through that many changes and still win a Super Bowl with that many things going on. Joe has been through a ton on this team. He is an elite quarterback. He is a great player. He makes mistakes like everybody else, but he is not the entire offense. He is not the entire team. Ray Lewis is not the entire Ravens team. Ray Lewis is a huge inspiration and a huge coup for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, I'm not trying to say that Ray isn't as important as he is to this franchise. Joe isn't the offensive line, okay? So if people go down in front of him, that's going to affect the way he plays. If Joe has no one to throw to, that's going to affect his plays. That's going to affect how, you know, the complete passes that he makes. If he throws to people right in the numbers and they drop it, like, you know, Marlon Brown or Hushman Zada or whatever. There was a great, oh man, I wish I could remember who said it. It was a commentator on the Monday Night Football game that said, when Joe won the Super Bowl, who'd he have? Torrey Smith, Anquan Boldin, he had Jacoby Jones, he had Dennis Pitta. All those weapons are gone. And Joe is still, even though we are 1-6.
We have Steve Smith, not to undermine what Smith is doing.
Right.
Because he's leading not only the team in receiving, but he's outshined. There was a stat I posted on Facebook. He's outshined statistically and productivity all the rest of receivers combined that are on the roster. So you're right. Playmakers are gone. I couldn't agree with you more, man. I mean, I could give you a high five right now. You're right on point.
But here's my one last point, and I'll leave it on this. We are a 1-6 team right now. But every single one of those games is close, is within 3 to 7 points. There is no blowout. Joe is making plays. Joe is making he is getting touchdowns. He is getting points on the board with the tools that he's been giving. Is his offensive coordinator any good? I don't think so. Are his wide receivers any good? Steve Smith, yes. The rest, no. Yet he's still getting 23 points, whatever on the board to be in a race. That's why I said the game got interesting towards the end of the last 2 minutes, because at every single one of these games, the Ravens could have won them. But
one possession game again, lost by 8.
Exactly.
We lost by single digits every game this year.
Exactly. So Joe, with the right tools, can win a Super Bowl. Joe, without the right tools, is going to struggle, but he's going to do his hardest work to get points onto that scoreboard and to win games. Does he make
mistakes? With the right tools, you can also build a house, but with the incorrect tools, you're going to build a shack.
Exactly.
So you got to have the right tools to win in the NFL. So I'm just getting sick of I'm just tired of it. Like soon as he throws a pick or soon, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I mean, look at the Colts. Andrew Luck's having a bad year, and I actually there's a conversation on Facebook I had with a Colts fan, and I said, you don't hear Colts fans say Luck sucks, where's his backup? And he said, no, sir. It's just basically he feels that what the Colts' problem is, and I hate to say this, but he feels that Pagano's out the way of the door. And the team's not responding to Pagano anymore. So it's like I said, it's the same thing. Like you said, does he throw picks? Yeah. Does he get sacked? Yeah. So does Peyton Manning. So does Tom Brady. So does Aaron Rodgers. They're all human. Aaron Rodgers has won as many Super Bowls as Flacco. One. Not three, not two. One. It's just ridiculous. I'm getting sick of it. I mean, every quarterback without the right line, without the right tools, it's sucking. So And don't get me started on, well, Junie's weapons. I wish we could draft the Julio Jones or Dez Bryant or one of those guys fall to us. We'll probably end up getting somebody great because we're going to have a top 10 pick, probably top 5 pick the way we're trending. And if the season right now, Brandon, we'd be the number one overall pick. How about that?
I don't want the Ravens to throw these games, but getting a number one draft pick to be on this team is pretty enticing. I think it would be because the last couple draft picks that we've had as our first choices haven't really worked out that well.
CJ Mosley worked out.
CJ Mosley's look good.
Pro Bowl, nothing big.
He's going through a little bit of a sophomore slump right now. He's not having the greatest couple games, but I think it's because he's got a lot more work on him. He looked good in this last game. You know, I've been a little worried about him. He's been kind of shaky the last couple weeks, but this game he kind of came back into his own again. So, you know, I kind of like what I've seen from him. So let's talk a little bit more about this Cardinals game. Let's keep going. You brought up Chris Givens. You know, we kind of touched on him very briefly. The first pass I remember Joe Flacco threw to him, he dropped it. But if you looked, he like ran right back to Joe and was like, throw it to me again, I want to do it. And then he was able to make another play. Whether or not he's the best receiver right now, he's definitely not the best one out there. But I like the fact that he dropped it and then he kind of went back to the huddle and was like, dude, just, you know, throw it again. He was excited. He wanted to make that play happen. So I liked him. I liked what I saw from him in this game.
I did too, man. I mean, he finally showed up. He finally came into his own. I mean, he had that great catch, the great play where he blew right by the defender. Like, he put it right into his hands. And I mean, it just was a great play. It was great to see Chris Givens. And then Marlon Brown actually caught a few passes. And I kept saying, did Marlon Brown catch a freaking football? Wow, that's unheard of. So it was just great to see, other than Steve Smith. Steve Smith was balling, man. There was a couple of big catches where it was just like, shake your head and you're like, man, that's Steve Smith. He's awesome. But, I mean, overall, the receivers played okay. They made the plays they needed to. I didn't really see any major big drops where it was like, really? Steve Smith actually got the drops. He's out of them this week, and he actually caught a few good balls. I was impressed.
Yeah, Steve Smith looked good. Crockett Gilmore making plays, making things happen. Yeah, Chris Givens I liked. Marlon Brown, he dropped one or two, but there were some big plays that he was able to come along with. Let me ask you about this. Justin Forsett, like you said, he looked good. Buck Allen, I thought, looked great this game. What was going on, though? What was it, third and long? Like third and like... I don't even know what the yardage was, but it was like third and long, and they decided to run the ball with Forsett, and they literally got nowhere. What is your call there? If you're at third and long, are you going to run the ball?
Yeah, there's a couple of suspect questionable calls where it's like, especially the series when they got the ball starting the second half, and they went three and out. It was bad. Like, you know, I keep saying this. Like, you watch other teams, and it's third and long, and they're throwing the football down the field. It's like third and long, and we run the ball, or third and long, and check down. A lot of it has to do with maybe Flacco action breaking down. But Buck Allen performed well. Not to say on the stat lines he outperformed Forsett, but I think with effort, they both did decent. Forsett had a couple great runs. Buck Allen shined very well, and I was very impressed to see this team, and it was a great effort all around, man. I mean, the touchdown was great. I was really happy to see, and I think the run stopped the pass, because there's a couple times where we actually had effective play action going on, and they were making plays, and especially if drives accordingly. Buck Allen, I think he's formidable number two backup, man. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, I'm definitely impressed with Buck Allen. I like what I've seen here. So, without going, well, of course, we're going to cover the Chargers game and the Purple Friday preview. Without going into like specifics, like game by game, with where the Ravens are right now, what do they do for the rest of the season to make sure they can at least get another win or two? Because they're performing, they're performing mediocre. Let's at best, really. They're not doing the greatest work. But where they all break down is those last 2 minutes. What do the Ravens have to do in those last 2 minutes to make sure that they can get those extra points, that they can win a game? Because I saw them getting so close towards the end, and in the back of my mind, I was like, I really want them to win. But I know with this team the way they are this year, they're going to get close, but they're not going to be able to cross that finish line. How do they finally cross that finish line in the last 2 minutes?
They need to execute, make plays, man. I mean, it's all about fundamentals, like I keep talking about. It's about the secondary on third down and second down. Especially on third down, long are the days of this team getting the offense off the field and when we're on defense. It's, third and long, and they converted a big first down. It was like, I was beside myself. I was like, here we go. That just describes the problems we've been having all year. It's coming down to making plays. And speaking of that, and what could contribute to this, what is this with this tackling, man? Like, I looked at my big buddy and this guy, I watch Ravens games with, he basically is like three times the size of me. And I'm like, that's like me coming up to you and just basically nudging me with my shoulder. I'm going to bounce right off you like a little rubber ball. Like, I just don't understand when these – I seen this yesterday where the Ravens defenders, and it's all the secondary, the receivers will catch and they come up and, like, try to jam them with their shoulder. Like, and then the receiver would just spin off and then run 20 yards down the field. Longer days where you're lowering your head and wrapping up. I mean, I don't know if it's a linebacker thing or if corners just don't know how to tackle, but they need to teach tackling for corners because they're trying to finesse it, and these receivers are big and physical. This is the NFL, dude. This isn't college or high school. You can't be doing that. And not tackling, it's getting on my nerves. I just tackle somebody, please. How many, especially on that Chris Johnson run, how many missed tackles? He basically made like the whole team miss and running across the field the whole way. It was embarrassing. And then John Brown caught a football, made like three secondary guys miss. It's just, it's atrocious.
Yeah, tackling is definitely not a strong suit for this secondary. I'm going to say that a lot of these guys go to the Lardarius Webb School of Tackling, where they think that all you got to do is kind of like wrap your arms around somebody and give them a hug, and then they'll just kind of fall to the floor. I couldn't even tell you how many times I counted Lardarius Webb wrapping his arms around a guy and then just slowly, like, not putting any pressure on him and just kind of hoping he falls to the ground. They definitely need to figure out that problem there. They need to tell them to finish tackles. They need to tell them to get things going. And when you get a hold of somebody, you know, hold on to him. Put it like, make yourself dead weight and bring him to the ground, because Lardarius Webb, I'll just say, you know, he was the biggest offender last night, where he didn't make plays happen. He just kind of let guys go and was hoping, like, oh, hopefully he'll just step out of bounds or something like that. They're not playing strong like Ravens defense. They're playing, you know, it felt as if they were playing flag football. It was like two-hand touch.
That's exactly what it felt like. And I even joked yesterday, I said the Ravens should just join a flag football league because they're good at swiping and good at that kind of stuff. But they're not good at tackling. The NFL's about tackling, man. Not shoulders and not arm swiping. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it was there's definitely a lot of work to still be done with this team. And we're almost halfway through the season now, and they still got more work to put in, but man, this
lots of work, man.
This was the closest I think the Ravens came to an actual win this year. But it's the
same. Yeah, it was great. It was very entertaining, especially on the Monday Night Spotlight. They tried to come back. It was very entertaining. And you know, I've seen a lot of Purple Presence. I know a lot of our few listeners were there as well, and they had a good vantage point, and it was just a great environment.
And did you hear during the national anthem there was a giant O?
Yep.
Did you hear that?
Yep.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. A lot of Ravens Nation worldwide hanging out in Arizona, partying in the desert. So, did we cover everything for this episode?
We did, man. We covered it to the max, man. 1-6, man. It's fun. It's fun, isn't it?
1-6. Never thought the Ravens would be there, especially when they were everyone's choice to win the Super Bowl or at least go to the Super Bowl this year. But man, what a crazy amount of losses the Ravens have here. But hey. You're out there and you're on Twitter land and you want to talk to us about Ravens football, you can. All you got to do is tweet to Josh or I, and we'll tell you what we think of the Ravens, what we think of your Purple Friday garb, if you've got some Purple Friday on, you know, later on in the week. But anyway, tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52, man.
All right, very cool. Now, if you guys want to check out anything else, we are also on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. And Josh, you know, he said it earlier, he found a cool article we found on another website, shared it on ours, and you guys could read it and check that out. I posted the video of the national anthem with the O. That was also from another Facebook page. We shared that as well, so check it out. Go to facebook.com/BrandoCash to like Brando Cash Entertainment. That way you find out whenever a new show comes out, whether it be The Call or What the Puck, my Washington Capitals podcast. We're also doing videos and photos whenever we have time to do it. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Now, we do this show for free. You guys listen, stream, and download for free. So all we are asking you guys to do in return is to please spread word. Spread the word about The Call. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web. Say the Ravens are 1-6. But I'm still a proud Baltimore Ravens fan, and I listen to The Call. They get me ready for the game. They talk Ravens football whenever I need to hear about some Ravens football, whether it be the good times, the bad times. We're true Raven fans, and we're always hanging out, and we're talking about the Ravens. So spread the word about The Call all over the web. Help us boost our numbers up a little bit. So that's pretty much it for the show. We'll be back on Friday for the Purple Friday preview. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, man. And guys, man, sticking it out, aren't we? The true blue troopers, 1-6. This separates the real fans from the fake fans, doesn't it? Because we all know fakers are coming out because they're bashing Flacco, they're hating the team, they're throwing in the towel, they're turning on the Patriots games and turning on their Packers games, and who knows? They might be turning on Bengals games, Brandon. Are they preparing on Bengals games? Are we going to have some converts over there? I don't think so. With that being said, man, it's 1-6 record. You got to stick it through. We're going to win a few. A few wins here. We're on the cusp, as Brandon said. They're starting to gel and trying to play that team complete game, and we need to get back to it. So definitely Dire Straits, 1-6. Season end today. We got the first overall pick. Just got to stick with it. We're going to win a game. Don't know when. It's going to be soon. I really hope it's soon. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week. Let's lick our wounds. Let's get a win sometime.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.